Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Almost going to have four taxpayers soon in the House. Husband, handsome husband and I are paying the taxes. But number one, at age 15, got a job. And number two, I am kicking out the door to join the world of taxpayers, even though he's only 13. Summer is coming, and he cannot be sitting on his butt in my house playing Fortnite and Apex Legends all day. He does go to sleepaway camp for a few weeks, but with the 12-week summer here in Minnesota, he's got to go do something. You got to earn your keep, boy.
That's good. That's good that you're instilling that he can't just sit around the house all summer.
You cannot sit around because it's my house and I want you out. So anyway, I love my boy. But he, the only job you can get as a 13-year-old, you know, you can't work like in a real place because, you know, you're 13.
Can't work in the steel mills?
You're 13.
When you're 13?
I guess you can get you probably can't get a paper route. You know, they're not going to hire you at 13. But maybe you could mow lawns, which would be great, or babysit. He is getting a job as a caddy because they do a little caddy training. You know, they'll train you. It's 3 days of training. And he started yesterday. And we went through the whole, you have to wear a golf shirt.
Is he going to carry the bag, though?
He's going to carry the bag.
He carries the bag. So he doesn't get to just scoot around on a golf cart.
No, you don't need a caddy if you have a cart. No.
I guess, yeah.
So he's going to schlep the bags.
All right.
And I hope it's going to be a great job for him. He's excited about it because the boy likes money. You know, I get that. So I'm excited for him to start. He was excited for training. We went through the whole job interview thing, and he's excited about it. So I'll keep you posted as to how it goes. But, of course, it got us thinking here. Best summer job, worst summer job. I didn't even tell my maintenance story. I'm going to tell that. But we want to hear yours. 651-989-9226 is our number. Call in now. Best, worst, most miserable, maybe the briefest. I think my husband worked at Target unloading boxes for about a day. And he got fed up with that.
Yeah, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, he was not too happy about that one. But what's yours? 651-989-9226.
I mean, the money is fine, but I think it's more than the money. The money is a symbol. It's independence.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to run to mom and dad.
Right.
And having the independence to be able to spend money without necessarily asking for permission.
That's right. And a job. Like you have, when you go to a job, mama's not there to tell you what to do. You have to have a boss and you have to be told what to do. And then you have to do it. You can't say later or you can't say, well, that ask my sister. It's like you have a job. You have to be a person. So, and he's a good boy. He's a great kid, but I'm excited for him.
Maddox has a great sense of humor. He likes to make people laugh.
He does.
He's the life of the party. He's going to do very well as a caddy.
Yes.
But again, he's going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a passion play out there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people are good. You run into a few bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing, he's going to kind of figure out social interaction.
That's right.
How
That's
to
right.
get through a day.
That's right.
How to deal with people who are less than agreeable.
How to keep your cool when someone's throwing his clubs in the sand pit or in the lake.
So these are skills he's going to use his entire life.
We hope so. And for most of us, summer jobs did that. When I was plunging toilets and cleaning up vomit at a summer camp working maintenance, I learned a lot of good lessons that way.
Ouch.
I'm still good with the toilet today. I'm still good with the plumbing.
You were cleaning toilets.
I hang my own chandeliers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty good with some maintenance.
Huh.
651-989-9226. Best, worst, most fun, most miserable summer job. Barb, you're up first. Hey, Barb.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
My worst summer job. I grew up in southern Minnesota, was used to working on the farm, the beans and all that kind of stuff. But my worst summer job, I was working in a canning factory, night shift, 12-hour night shift, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. My job was in the sorter room where the corn or peas or whatever happened to be going through, and we would do final inspection where we would run our fingers through this and pick out the worms and bugs.
Ooh,
and
my God.
Throw them into a pail. And that was done from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. night shift.
That's
Let me
horrible.
Tell you, though, you know what? I was able to pay my way to college doing that. Of course, college was only $5,000 to $6,000 a year back then.
Yeah.
But that put a lot of people through school working in the canning factories. Not a fun job I relished, though.
Wow. That's a great story, Barb. Thank you.
But, you bet.
Wow.
Thank you, Barb. But, you know, we have a word for that. It's called bait. If she could have taken those worms and leeches and
Ooh.
Then resold those on the side.
Oh, yeah, double dip.
For the fishing community, I mean, turn a negative into a positive.
That's a tough job. Wow,
yeah.
She is
wow.
a trooper.
That is a tough one.
That builds character, that job right there. Tim's in Nisswa. Tim, tell us about your summer job.
Yeah, I worked one summer as a seasonal resort worker in Glacier National Park.
Ooh.
That sounds awesome.
Oh, it does sound awesome, but... Number one, they had you work split shifts. So I went in like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was there till 8. Uh-huh. And then I went back in at 10:30 or 11 till 2.
Oh, gosh.
Oof.
And then I went back in from 5 to 7.
Oy.
So your whole day, you're in this wonderful place. You can't really go and do anything because... You're tied up at work all day, and there isn't really anywhere you can get out there in an hour and get back. You know, you aren't exactly going to go hiking or climb a mountain.
Yeah, they didn't want you to have too much fun on the job.
Wow.
Absolutely not. Roughly 75% of the workers quit before the end of the summer.
Oh, boy. That's
did you hang in there?
Early.
Tim, did you hang in there the whole summer?
Oh, yeah. That was my mom and dad. You're going to grow a lot from this experience. So.
Amen, yeah. Brother.
You got that lecture, too.
I'm there till then.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Well done.
Thanks, Tim. Good for you. I love hearing these summer jobs. Summer job 651-989-9226. Diane's in Edina. Diane, favorite, least favorite, what you got?
Oh, very favorite. I was a lifeguard at the Thunderbird Motel under Rodney Wallace's tutelage. I'll put it that way. And I was, if I didn't have anybody swimming, then I was supposed to pick petunias or whatever the flowers were. But I got to meet lots of, like, the New York Giants. Everybody stayed there then. That was
wow.
when the stadium was right there. So he had all the football players, baseball players staying there. It was awesome. Got to meet everybody and get autographs. And it was quite the... But the one thing that I remember is one guy bought one of those bathing suits out of the vending machine.
Ooh.
And they're kind of paper.
Uh-oh.
Well, he kind of jumped... And this is a pool now. He kind of jumped off the diving board. And, well, I threw him a towel. I'll put it down. Because the paper was floating on top of the pool, not on his body, in little pieces.
Great story.
Diane, did you throw him that towel right away, or did you wait 5, 6, 10 minutes?
I'll let you figure that one out.
All right.
I can only say one thing. I went for my job interview, though, to Rodney Wallace's house off in Minnetonka, and I had to hide in a night of shining armor because he was kind of frisky. That was one of those. Well, he was home alone, and at that point I was young, he was younger. So I can only say this, it was one of those. Maybe I could have done a Me Too later, but
yes, sounds like it, Diane. So it was a great summer job, but your first experience with sexual assault, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Yes, but I hid in the night of shining armor.
I've never heard of that before. I didn't know you could. Wow.
Everything about this story is awesome, Diane.
Yeah, this is a made-for-TV movie, Diane.
It was so hysterical. Plus, he had the affinity for women, and around the middle of the old configuration of the Thunderbird, the pool was in the middle, and all the motel rooms faced uh-huh. the pool. Well, I'm entertaining his wife. He's kind of gone in one of the rooms on the other side with not his wife. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I had lots of different experiences that first summer.
Clearly. And, Diane, we're sorry about the assault. We're certainly not making light of that, but it sounds...
Nothing happened. So, I mean, I couldn't get out of the dang night. I mean, I didn't know where the latch was. Once it closed, I was stuck. I couldn't make it move, so I just kind of... threw it down, and I did get out. It crash banged, but that's all right.
Unbelievable.
You are the best.
You're a good storyteller.
Best call all day, Diane. Thank you, love.
I had a babysitter named Liz Winstead. Now, she's a comedian. That's who babysat my children all growing up. So I learned from the best.
You're funny, babe.
Thanks,
you're funny.
Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
And again, word to the wise, do not buy your swimsuit out of a vending machine.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
I did not know that was a thing.
Nothing good can come of that.
Do we have time to take Alan? Or should, All right, Alan, we want to get you in here. It's hard to beat Diane, but what was your favorite summer job, Alan?
Well, I had a summer job at an upscale restaurant in Pennsylvania as a busboy and a barboy. And Paul will understand this. This was 1971 and 72. After working a solid Friday or Saturday night, I would walk out of there in excess of $100 in tips.
That's fantastic.
No kidding.
And 71 and 72. That was crazy.
So what kind of place
Where was
this,
this,
Alan?
In York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah?
Called Lincoln Woods Inn. It was nice. It wasn't horribly. It was upscale, but not stupid.
You're making stupid money. That was awesome.
100 bucks in tips, and you reported all of that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Are you with the IRS?
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Alan, great call. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Alan.
Wow, busboy and barboy. That's a lot of money today. Good for you, Alan. That was fun. Thank you for sharing with us your summer jobs and all the things you learned. Diane, the knight in shining armor.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you learn trial and error.
Oh, that's good stuff. I'm going to have to Google the Thunderbird Motel and find out some of those stories.
Honest to God, she could have filled up 3 hours worth of stories. All right. Some of the stories that made us do double takes, even triple takes. What's going on with the Boy Scouts? We answer that next. Okay, you had an experience recently that kind of made you want to take Amtrak or maybe a Greyhound bus or walk, hitchhike,
Well, you know, this was my second vacation I tried to take with the kids. We tried to go to Florida in December, and because of mechanical failure, we missed our connection, and then United couldn't get us on another flight, so we literally had to cancel our vacation. They couldn't get us on another flight for like 5 days. So
what? What do they have, like two planes?
I guess. So it canceled our vacation. So we're traveling for Passover. We're going to Florida. Oh, excuse me. So we're going to New Jersey on Friday for Passover. Flying into Newark.
Yeah.
And they say there's weather delay in Newark. And then they canceled the flight. And they canceled another flight after our flight and said they couldn't get us into Newark till about 1 in the morning.
Because it was raining?
But it wasn't raining. Like all the Delta flights were landing. And my brother lives, 15 minutes from the airport. He said it's cloudy. In fact, in retrospect,
it was cloudy.
It didn't start raining till 7 p.m. in Newark.
Planes are designed to fly through the rain.
Again, it was a very disappointing weekend, regardless. So when I saw this, I thought, oh. I tried to tweet at the CEO of United Airlines, whose name is Oscar Munoz.
Mm-hmm.
But then he doesn't have a Twitter account. It's probably a smart move.
Yeah.
Probably a smart move.
Yeah.
So Oscar Munoz claimed flying is too stressful for passengers. He said this in an interview with the Daily Mail. Flying is too stressful for passengers. He said, quote, by the time they got on the plane, they're P-I-S-S-E-D, they're pissed at the world. He's a 60-year-old California native, and he said he's working hard with his company to have empathy for their customers. So not to actually get us where we need to go, but when I tweet at the customer service, they have to say things like, Jordana, I'm so sorry you're disappointed with the travel experience. Yeah, because there was no travel experience because I never got on a freaking plane.
Yeah, I got hosed.
Okay. He also did an interview with ABC News, and he said the problem of ever-shrinking passenger seats and Wi-Fi that doesn't work is something that they're working on. He told ABC, quote, I think we're nearing a point where we can't do that anymore. He was talking about the seats because they are so teeny. And this is all airlines. I'm not just like ragging on United. When I sit on an airline, I am a small girl. I am 5'4 in heels. I maybe weigh 110 pounds. When I get in an airline seat, my knees are nearly touching the seat in front of me, and I have to, kind of smush my arms in. My husband is a large man, 6 feet. I have no idea what he weighs, but he's got to sprawl his legs out to sit in the seat. I imagine when you boys get on a plane.
It's uncomfortable.
It is a problem. And I'm not flying first class. I'm flying regular cattle, like the cattle, in the back of the plane, like everybody's
flying. You
hear
a lot of mooing back there.
Right?
And it's an amazing business model where you want to pay a little bit more to be tortured a little less up front.
$5 for two more inches of leg room.
Yeah.
I don't know how comfortable it is. But you know what I did? I did come away with, after reading this article about Oscar Munoz said about, he's the CEO of United Airlines, says that, you know, we're working on it. It's become so stressful for passengers that from the time you leave, you're in traffic, you find a parking spot, you get through security. You don't care what kind of cookie or coffee I offer you or what kind of smile I offer you. Like, we understand that you are upset. He didn't say that he was improving United Airlines in any ways, but he said what they're working on there is having empathy for the passenger. Mm-hmm. So find comfort in that, dear air traveler, that the other employees on the airlines are feeling your pain.
Just take off on time.
Just take off on time. Don't stop canceling my vacations with the kids.
Jure, I want to squeeze this in. Makers of e-cigarettes claim their products are safe. A study published today shows that dozens of popular e-cigarette products are contaminated with bacterial and fungal toxins that can cause lung disease.
Ew.
These impurities, which are associated with asthma and chronic obstructive lung disease, were found in nearly a quarter of the single-use e-cigarette cartridges and in over three-quarters of e-liquids, according to the Harvard School of Public Health.
You had me at bacterial and fungal issues.
Yeah, this can cause asthma, reduced lung function, inflammation. It's estimated that 3 million high school students used e-cigarettes last year. That's up from 220,000 in 2011, according to CDC. So, no, it's not necessarily a safe alternative to smoking conventional cigarettes. More and more data coming out.
Why are video games more harmful to girls than boys? Find out next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
My son plays video games. The girls, not so much. They did play Minecraft for a while, but like dabbled. You know, They weren't like him where he comes home and he plays with his friends, that kind of thing. It's a little bit different. So a new study says that kids ages 8 to 10 who find it hard to make friends are more likely to game. They're more likely to game. And that video gaming does not harm social development in boys, but it can be harmful for girls who already struggle to make friends. Now, not necessarily saying that if you game, you will struggle to make friends. But basically, if you're already struggling to make friends, you're more likely to game and therefore make it even harder to have one-on-one, face-to-face social interactions. Study of more than 870 youngsters, 6 to 12, their parents and teachers found boys spend time playing games has no harmful effect on their social development, but 10-year-olds, girls who spent more time on the video games had some weaker social skills 2 years later. It's a little bit chicken and egg. You know, if you're already a shy kid that doesn't like to be face-to-face, maybe being on the video games, you can talk to people in the headsets. You might have a better time making connections that way, but it doesn't look necessarily so great for the video games. BMI was also studied, as overweight girls are more likely to be gamers, and children with higher BMIs also tend to have problems with developing social skills. So what they're saying is they're not sure chicken and egg, but there is a bit of a correlation.
And you know what's amazing to me? I get the video games. It's a release. It's an escape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's skill involved, real skill involved. But now watching video games is bigger than traditional spectator sporting events. Young gamers, Jordana, are spending roughly 3 hours, 25 minutes every week just watching play video games.
Isn't that amazing? I'm astounded when my kids do this. I'm like, really? You're watching somebody else play? And they're like, yeah, they're amazing. And it's like watching a TV show. They watch other people play video games.
Is it crazy to get better, right? To learn
To see how someone is so adept at it. You know, if it's a game you love and
somebody
maybe you're not
that
good.
At the top of their game.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at, we have a whole video game, leagues now. NBA 2K, we have the T-Wolves Gaming for the Timberwolves. That's a team that travels around the country and competes. People are making livings playing video games.
Good livings.
God bless them. It's awesome.
Wow. Jure, this story troubled me. As a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, my oldest son, Walt, was an Eagle Scout. And so I have fond memories and generally great opinions when it comes to scouting. And I've met some amazing people along the way. Over 12,000 Boy Scout members were allegedly, and this is the important word, allegedly sexually abused by troop leaders and volunteers, according to an expert who has been investigating the alleged abuse over the last 5 years. Dr. Janet Warren is a professor at the Department of Psychiatry and Neurobehavioral Sciences at the University of Virginia's Medical School. She testified as part of a January trial about a child sex abuse at a Minnesota children's theater company. Her extensive investigation into the handling of sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts. Now, again, the range is from 1944
oh boy.
To 2016.
Oh, boy. That's a long range, Paul.
It's a, yeah. She found as many as 7,819 troop leaders and volunteers allegedly abused as many as 12,254 scouts.
And was it like a one-time abuse and then they were kicked out, or was it like a church thing where it was covered up?
Don't know the answer to that.
Oh, gosh, this is sad.
Warren testified that she and her team gained access to the group's ineligible volunteer files, which detailed the alleged abuses.
Oh, well.
Attorney Jeff Anderson publicly released the numbers at a press conference yesterday, saying 130 of those alleged perpetrators are in New York and could now face legal action. And Dan Cook and I, producer Dan Cook and I, went back and forth, and my comment was, okay, there are always bad apples.
For
wherever
sure.
you go, any profession, sure. any volunteer organization, mm-hmm. most people are good, a few people are not.
Always.
And Dan's point was, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that if there was, in fact, a cover-up, like there was in the Catholic Church, then those people who covered up these crimes—
should be in jail.
Should be in jail.
Yes.
They
mm-hmm.
should be persecuted.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy the argument necessarily. I'd have to see more data to be convinced that people are drawn to Boy Scouts or to the Catholic Church as a means by which to get at, you know, to prey on people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know that I buy that. So your argument about there being bad apples, I totally concede that. But when you have an institution that doesn't report this to law enforcement or doesn't do it diligently enough, that's a huge problem. That's an enormous
huge.
Problem.
You are
trying to protect the institution over kids. You've got it completely backwards.
You've made the wrong choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the fact that Jeff Anderson's involved in this tells you what you need to know about what's going on with the boy.
Scary stuff.
And they should be legally culpable if you
absolutely.
In any way covered up these crimes. Mm-mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You are liable.
They're crimes.
They're crimes. Yes.
Yes. Abusing a young boy is a crime. It's a crime. It's not just something you can shoo under the table. It is a crime, and there is a consequence that needs to be paid.
So we'll see. Again, we don't know what we don't know, but this is a story I'm following. Many people out there have their sons in Cub Scouts and Boy mm-hmm. Scouts, and we certainly want to know that our kids are safe, and we'll share more information as it comes out.
Well, let's lighten things up a little
Please.
Bit. Because this news story caught my eye, because it's about fashion. All right, ladies, in the 90s, you had these sandals. They're big, fat platform sandals with like a stretchy top that goes over the top of your foot. They're the Steve Madden sandals. You know, they're just slides. You
Is
slide
it to
your
look
foot
taller?
In.
Is it to be taller?
No, I mean, because they were big, thick platforms.
Yeah.
So, yes, but they were also super squishy on the bottom. And the top was also stretchy material. It was like wearing air. They were so comfortable. And this was back in the day before Steve Madden went to prison for tax evasion. So, yes, we all had those Steve Madden iconic foam platform sandals. They're bringing them back. Everything old is new again. You know, now that we're in our 40s, we want all the things that we had in our teens and in our 20s. Like literally like 4 inches of platform with the stretchy fabric. And they're super comfy and they're fantastic. But doctors are saying, don't do it. Thank God doctors back in the 90s when I was growing up didn't care about stuff like this. Doctors are saying these sandals can throw off your gait, and also they're seeing people coming into their office that have tweaked or sprained an ankle because they've fallen off the 4-inch platform. Because the platforms are so high, I'm looking at a picture of them. You can see them right here. The platforms are so high that literally if you misstep, you can fall off your platform and tweak an ankle. 9 times out of 10, this doctor says patients who wear the platform sandals visit her for an ankle sprain. Even if you manage not to topple over, you're probably messing up other parts of your body because you're not in proper alignment.
Wow.
They're high platform. So, friends, I usually put fashion over function or even over comfortability, but I may have to be wary of buying these sandals again.
I'm going to squeeze this in.
Public service.
Do you own the rights to your face? With facial recognition now,
so.
It can do more than just unlock your phone. A New York teen says Apple's facial recognition got him arrested.
This is terrible.
18-year-old was falsely arrested in November, and he blames Apple and their facial recognition technology.
So what, the cops saw him and went after him, thinking he was somebody else?
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
Apple uses this facial recognition software to identify shoplifters.
Mm-hmm.
At various stores, at the Apple stores. Well, anyway, this guy is suing the tech giant for $1 billion, according to the New York Post. He says a man stole $1,200 worth of merchandise from a Boston Apple store back in 2018, but he used a stolen ID that had this gentleman's name, address, and other personal information, but no photo. This guy says Apple believed this man was the perpetrator, so in the absence of a photo on the ID, it programmed its security system to associate the man's face with this guy's name using facial recognition technology.
So they arrested the wrong guy.
They got the wrong guy. Ultimately, a detective watching surveillance footage from the New York store discovered the actual suspect, and he looked nothing like this dude. So
I don't know that he should get $1 billion, but he should get something.
Yeah, do you own the rights to your face?
You should get something. It's 5:48. Right now, we're going to tell you a little bit about jewelry. Wicks and Jeweler time. As your life changes, so should the story of your diamonds. Restyle or upgrade your diamond at the Diamond Event at Wicks. We only have a minute left, but we want to remind everybody the Twins are playing tonight.
Yep.
And hopefully, well, we're going to go affirmatively, they will be victorious over Houston.
Pre-game 6:30, first pitch 7:10. Stick around, listen right here on CCO. It's interesting to me, too, that the Orioles are back on Friday for a home game. And then, what, after the Orioles, the Astros are back here?
Yeah, so sort of back. It's sort of a back-to-back home-and-home type series.
Yeah.
So Twins went to Baltimore and then to Houston. Now Baltimore and Houston come in here.
Does that happen fairly often?
I wouldn't say often, but it does happen. I wouldn't say it's particularly rare either. It's just the vagaries of, you know, you got 30 teams and 162 games a year. Sometimes the schedule just shakes out.
Is there a game on Saturday? There is a home game on Saturday?
Yeah, they'll be here on Saturday.
Oh, that could be interesting.
Couldn't it, though?
No issues Friday. Friday should be a nice, comfortable game.
We're not
but
talking
Saturday,
about snow.
Shh. Bring a poncho.
Are you censoring me? Are you?
Shh.
Because there is a chance of... All right. Catch you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.